are listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on March 6, 2019. My guest today is an independent professional specializing in UI, UX, design, and WordPress. I forgot to ask you how to pronounce your name. Michelle Shulp?
Yep.
How are you doing?
Good. Good job. First try. That was pretty good. I am doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I want to talk about WordPress. WordPress is something that I like quite a lot. How long have you been working with WordPress?
Well, I hacked up my first WordPress theme in 2010 for a client that I had no business trying to do, as many people do when they first start with WordPress. And I attended my first WordCamp in 2011. Now, if you don't know what a WordCamp is, there are locally produced WordPress conferences that happen now all over the world. And now at this point, I do custom theme development and speak at WordCamps and other tech and design events around the country. So definitely come a long way since that first theme in 2010.
That's very cool. I've never been to a WordCamp, but they do seem like very, very cool events. So for people listening, mostly it's developers and other technologists. So I'm hoping they're familiar with WordPress. So hopefully they've at least heard of it. But if anyone hasn't heard of it, would you mind describing just briefly what WordPress is?
Sure. So WordPress is an open source content management system and PHP framework. And it also currently powers around a third of the internet, or at least a third of the top million sites on the internet, according to the last round of statistics.
I always thought of WordPress, and people would say WordPress is just for blogging, things like that. But I think people who've used WordPress, we know better. It's more of a platform, like you said, a framework. So there's lots of stuff you can do with it. And you mentioned you build themes. So is themes what you work with most of the time, or what parts of WordPress do you usually find yourself working with?
Well, yeah, since I'm primarily interested in the visual output of data as a person with a design and user interface background, I would consider myself what I'd call a front-end WordPress developer. What that means is that I build custom themes. So that's primarily using HTML, SAS-flavored CSS, WordPress-flavored PHP, and some JavaScript. And I also build small plugins to support those themes. But most of my development work, I would say, is considering the visual output of data.
Would you mind giving some examples of sites that you've built or helped build with WordPress over the years? Maybe you could start with that first one you hacked together. But what are some examples of the kinds of sites that you're building with WordPress?
Well, I'd rather not talk about that first one. But a lot of the sites that I am doing personally for clients are small to mid-sized organizations, and they range across a whole bunch of industries. I've done a lot of work with smaller e-commerce sites. I've done a lot of work in various industries you wouldn't expect there to be interesting work. A bunch of work for the roofing industry I've done. I've done a bunch of work for the professional music supply industry. And I've also done a bunch of work for local places here, so different creative agencies and stuff like that.
So it's funny you mentioned music supply. I briefly taught web development, and this has been years ago, and I decided to use WordPress as the tool. And this was actually in a music college. So my recommendation for these students was, if what you're doing is related to content, start with WordPress. Start there first, and then build something custom. Only if you need to. So that's kind of what I want to get at here is, why would a team consider using WordPress, and when shouldn't they consider using WordPress?
Well, my approach to that is really to think about who is going to be maintaining and updating the site. So it's not just about what you want to do as a developer, as a product owner, as a person who's managing the project, but who's going to be dealing with the content. WordPress has had a lot of usability work that has gone into the admin user experience, and WordPress also has a huge community that's constantly updating, maintaining, and improving it. So really the question is this for you or for someone else? If it's for you, you know, go ahead and adopt the newest, shiniest, most interesting technology and have fun with it. But if it's for someone else, you might want to think about, how long does it need to be supported, right? Do you want to be supporting this custom thing for years on end? But another thing to think about is also your data structure. WordPress does have an opinionated data structure. Does your project match how WordPress works, or are you trying to shoehorn your thing into how WordPress works? So those are kind of the two big considerations I would say people would want to use when they're deciding whether or not they want to use WordPress.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned shoehorning the data in there to WordPress. But if you look at like the plugin library, the plugins available to WordPress, there's a plugin for just about everything underneath the sun. That's kind of the second part of my question is, you know, how do you know if you're shoehorning? What are some signs that maybe you should not try to force WordPress and move on to something else?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays WordPress can be used for just about everything. I mean, there's a lot of examples of WordPress in enterprise situations. WordPress powering e-commerce, WordPress powering membership, WordPress powering learning management. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are powered by WordPress. I would say that it really, it's more of a technical question at this point. So, I mean, really looking at your data. And also, again, back to that other question, does your data fit WordPress? And who's going to be maintaining it? But there are also quite a few other content management systems out there that might be a better fit.
You've worked with WordPress. Are there other systems you've worked with? Has there been custom design you've done as well that's not been WordPress?
Yeah, so from a purely front-end development perspective, I've worked on some projects where I just needed to deliver modular front-end components that were going to be hooked up to pretty much any back-end. I think it was actually going to be a .NET-powered back-end, which I have no business going anywhere near. So I actually used Pattern Lab for that, which is built around Brad Frost's atomic design principles. And Pattern Lab is a really, really fun experience to design for. It follows the atomic design principles. You build components that turn into modules, that turn into templates, that turn into pages. And it's got built-in documentation and several different templating languages that you can choose from. So that was a pretty good experience. And I've used that when I didn't know what the back end was going to be.
So this next one is about the criticisms you hear about WordPress. And I think it's a really great tool. And like I said, I was always told students to start there and only move to something else if you really need to. Now, what are some criticisms that you hear about WordPress and how do you typically respond to them?
Well, most of the criticisms about WordPress are due to its longevity. It's been around for quite a while. The code base does have a lot of legacy code. It is supporting a lot of old technology, including versions of PHP that have long since been retired. There's a lot of shiny new stuff in there that isn't being supported. And this isn't even including the criticisms against PHP in general. I'm not going to touch those.
Let's not go there.
let's assume that you're cool with PHP. But yeah, there are criticisms of the kind of the legacy code base that it has. And WordPress has a philosophy, and this philosophy is to democratize publishing. And what that means is that WordPress needs to support a wide range of use cases, and it has to break backwards compatibility as little as possible. Or if it does, there needs to be like a very clear update path that takes a while. And so it can't be as agile as some of the newer frameworks that are maybe built to iterate and built to break and built to continuously change. But that's not to say that you can't build shiny new things on top of WordPress. I have heard of a few people using WordPress as a headless CMS. Even a lot of core WordPress things are now being built using React. The new editor experience, which is called Gutenberg, is all built with React components. So WordPress is starting to embrace in core a lot of more modern front-end frameworks. A blessing and a curse for those of us that have been using it for a while. WordPress is not necessarily for everyone, and not necessarily everyone is going to inherently enjoy building in it for the technology's sake, but I think the massiveness of the WordPress community and the support that you get there makes up for maybe some of the technological questions that people have about it.
Hey, this is Steve Crow. Thanks for listening to the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast. If you're enjoying the show, head on over to iTunes and submit a review. Then take that review and send it to all of your followers on social media. and your friends and your family and your loved ones and your loved ones' loved ones. If you have any ideas, feedback, or questions you'd like read off on the air, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com/podcast.
You dropped the term there, headless CMS. So CMS is content management system, but what is a headless CMS?
Basically, in simple terms, my understanding is that a headless CMS is a content management system that is only the back end, and you're accessing the data from the back end through something else like a REST API. So you've totally decoupled the content management system from the front end output. And since WordPress released their own REST API for everything, people have been able to do that.
Yeah, so that kind of shows the last time I really touched WordPress, the REST API, I think, was something that was experimental and was just coming out.
It's only a few years old that it's been in core, I think. Only a few years, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the admin experience of WordPress? Because I think I'm relatively familiar with it, and you mentioned the Gutenberg editor. You know, why is the WordPress admin experience important when you're thinking about using WordPress for a project?
The WordPress admin experience is important because your users are not just the people that are accessing the website from the front end. They're not just the people that are going there. They are also the people that have to manage the content. My first introduction to open source content management was like a decade ago with Joomla. And nothing against Joomla as a technology. Lots of hardworking people work on it. But my job was to help train the client on how to use the admin. And at that time, I couldn't explain to them why things were in a particular place or how anything had anything to do with anything else. And it was extremely frustrating. And I went through, when I was evaluating, you know, content management systems to get into at that time, you know, Drupal was kind of a roll your own experience, and Joomla was very counterintuitive. And WordPress was there, and it just made sense. Like, you could find where things were. A lot of people I know that work on the WordPress project put a lot of usability testing into how the admin experience works. And they put, I'd say, as much thought into the content editor's experience as they do the front-end user's experience. And Gutenberg is a new editing experience that is moving away from the tiny MCE blob of text model into a modular drag and drop clean interface model. It's brand new. Like, we just got Gutenberg within the last year. As a modular fan, right? I like atomic design. I'm very excited to see where this content editing experience goes.
Just anecdotally speaking, the last client I worked with WordPress, it was a very simple, like, sort of a landlord type site, like a property management sort of thing. And of course, there's a plugin for that with WordPress, which makes it nice. But the admin experience is, I was able to basically create accounts for the end user that basically hides a lot of the bells and whistles of the WordPress backend, so that when they log in, they just see, okay, I'm able to create new properties and I can edit existing properties, and all the other stuff with themes and plugins and all that stuff is kind of hidden away from that admin user. Maybe that sounds limiting, but to the actual end user, that's all that she cared about was, I just need to make changes and updates to my content. And it was very easy for her to do that with the WordPress backend.
For clients I have that have multiple users managing content in the backend, I have definitely created different user levels with different levels of access to content so that, you know, there is an administrator that can do everything.
Sure.
but the average content editor doesn't need permission to update plugins, right? So they just need to see what they need to do to get their job. And again, WordPress is very extensible. There's some kind of filter hook that you can tie into to do almost anything. Being able to modify user access in the admin to customize it to their job is very, very useful.
Are there any resources you'd recommend for listeners who want to learn more about WordPress, front end, back end, or anything at all?
There are a ton of resources to learn pretty much anything you want about WordPress, which is actually one of the big appeals of WordPress in the first place. I have to start obviously with developer.wordpress.org. That's some of the official documentation, as well as WordPress TV. WordPress TV is a repository of pretty much all of the talks that have ever been given at any WordCamp ever. Fantastic resource, and it's 100% free.
Wow.
Outside of official resources, I do know a few people. So my friend Joe Casabona does a bunch of online courses about WordPress, as well as my friend Zach Gordon. His courses are more about the JavaScript and React side of WordPress, whereas Joe Casabona's are more all-encompassing, a little more intro-level development. Some great blogs that are out there. Tom McFarlane and Pippin's Plugins both have a lot of fantastic tutorials on their blog. And Carl Alexander as well has a great blog, and he literally just released a book, I think today, that is about object-oriented programming using WordPress, which
wow.
I think is really interesting. I'm definitely going to get it because I need to brush up on that. There are a ton of resources to learn pretty much anything about WordPress. The community is extremely active.
Is there anything else you'd like to promote as we wrap up the show?
Me personally, you can find me at marktimemedia.com and pretty much everywhere on the internet as Marktime Media. My personal site is mynameismichelle.com, and I also just launched a blog on health and fitness for independent tech and creative professionals. So if you're interested in learning about how to stay healthy and fit in a kind of traditionally not very healthy or fit industry, you can check out fitnessandfreelance.com.
My guest today has been Michelle Shulp. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
This has been the Crosscutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2019. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attributions 4.0 license. Hosting for this episode was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded with the help of Camtasia Recorder, Skype, and Audacity. Music is by Emma Groves.